Hello and welcome to the Record Swappers. My name is Gabriel.
And I'm Viking.
What is the Record Swappers?
Well, it's kind of like a book club, but you take the books and you throw them out, and instead you buy some records.
Yeah.
But by that meaning, I mean
albums, CDs,
yeah,
stream music that is, but like an album.
Yeah, and YouTube.
Yeah, like YouTube. But as long as it's in the form of an album, but we like records, we listen to records ourselves a lot.
Yes. Well, and also what I mean by that is that each time we do an episode, beforehand we choose a record that we listen to, and I hopefully you also.
Yeah.
And then we talk about it.
Yeah, and we do so each other episode we switch.
Yeah.
But I give I give you an album or,
yeah,
and you give me an album. So, yeah, but before we go into what album we did this time, we have the favorite segment that I love. What's the matter with you?
Yeah.
That is always a wonderful segment.
It's always a pleasure.
So what is the matter with you? What's up with you?
It's been good. I just came back to work after the Christmas break.
Nice. I kind of came back to work for a while and then I took some time off work.
Yeah.
Because being lazy is nice.
Yeah, lazy is nice.
Yeah.
I wish I could be that.
except for work, what have you been doing? Listening, reading, playing, I don't know. Anything special?
Yeah, I've been listening to some stuff. Mostly going back to one of my favorite artists, the Mountain Goats.
Cool.
And listening to their whole discography. They have like 15 records or something, so it takes a long time.
Nice.
How about you?
I have been listening to some weird internet songs, but also some... I'm trying to get into country or folk music, a lot of Americana. So I've been listening to Anders Osborne and Levon Helm.
Sounds nice.
Because of another podcast that we'll probably get into and recommend in the future.
Yeah, nice.
So, is that maybe? Should we start getting into...
Yeah, we can introduce what today's record is.
Yeah, so I chose a record called Crack Up by Fleet Foxes that I gave to you. And you had a little time to listen to, right?
Yeah.
So, let's see, what is Crack Up by Fleet Foxes? Or who are Fleet Foxes?
Yeah.
Fleet Foxes is a band that was started in Seattle, Washington, USA, 2005-06, and there are a couple of guys from that place, and they do music, and they're cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of it. And then you just have to like live. You just have to experience Fleet Foxes to understand Fleet Foxes. But they're normally like do indie pop, indie rock. I would say, and they're cool. Yeah,
yeah,
this is the third studio album that they made, so it's a cool album.
Yeah. Let's see. Do you want to introduce who are in the band?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can count, guys. So I promise, I can count. We have 5 guys that are in the band. Robin, who is the lead vocal, I would probably say, and then Skylar Skjelset, Casey Viscott, Christian Vargo, and Morgan Henderson. They all play like a lot of instruments and they all sing a lot, which is actually good. They're good guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I could play an instrument or sing.
And for a note, it's Robin Pecknold, because you just call him Robin because you're so great friends.
Oh, yeah. Pecknold. That's true. He has a last name.
Yeah.
But he's a good guy, man. I call him every night.
Yeah.
So yeah, but now those are the guys in the band, and they had a couple of hits, one could say. They were very big in 2011-2010 with their studio album Helplessness Blues, which was a big hit, but then they had some band problems and stuff, like, you know, they had...
Yeah, a member left.
Yeah, a member left and formed his own band and stuff happened, and then they took a little hiatus. That's a hard word.
Hiatus.
Yeah, I wanted to say hi-hat for some reason. They just took a hi-hat for 6 years, and that's fine. But which is a long time, a 6-year hiatus, yes. Actually.
Mm.
So yeah. Mm. And they released Crack Up in 2017, after 6 years.
Yeah.
Which is a cool concept album, which I didn't actually know or really understand what the word concept meant. I didn't understand the concept of concept albums. But meaning a concept album is more like they tell you a story through a bigger picture, through the lyrics and the musical overtones, which is actually kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the name Crack Up, some of you may maybe recognize it if you ever read F. Scott Fitzgerald, maybe, but it's an essay that he made that was also called Crack Up. Crack Up.
Hmm?
Not Crack Off.
No, Crack
Up.
Up.
Yeah. And actually, in the essay, Scott Fitzgerald said a little quote that he gave before reading, and the quote is, "Of course, all life is a process of breaking down," which is actually a kind of cool... cool beginning if you know about that before going into the album.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else cool stuff do we have? There's so much cool stuff. But I don't actually know. Let's see, how about this little cool fun fact?
Yeah.
That the Fleet Foxes, before naming themselves Fleet Foxes in 2005-06, their first name was gonna be the Pineapples.
Yeah. Fleet Foxes is a better name, I would say.
Yeah, and Robin was quoted saying that it sounded like some weird, evocative English activity, like fox hunting.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Fleet Foxes' album Crack Up.
Hmm?
I don't know, there's probably a lot to say, but I'm more like psyched to get into the music, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we can...
If you don't have a lot of fun facts yourselves...
Well, just let me look at this. No, I think mostly the things I have, we will cover.
The songs, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the songs that are, before we go into, I like there's a lot of information we could probably give you on anything.
Yeah.
Not only this, but when it comes to Crack Up and Fleet Foxes, their bread and butter has always been music and songs, I think. They're an interesting band in a sense, but they're also quite... boring in a sense, but that they're not very interesting people.
Yeah, they're not rock stars in that sense.
No, that's what
like,
I mean. So when it comes to bread and butter, it's always the music, I think, that's been. So,
yeah, and yeah, we kind of wanted to go through like song by song.
Yeah, song by song.
And like talk a little about and the songs and what they mean to us and to others and some fun facts about them.
Yeah, sounds good. Why don't I have the songs names? Because they disappeared.
Cause you screwed up everything.
Yeah, I screwed up, but that's fine. I'll just steal your notes.
Okay. Fine. Steal my notes.
I mean, you don't do research for this.
Oh, then I have to read out the first name of the first song on the record.
Yeah.
And that's...
that's a mouthful.
Yeah, it's a mouthful. So the first song on the record is I Am All That I Need / Arroyo Seco / Thumbprint Scar. And yeah, it's a... fun starter record, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Actually, I have a fun quote from David Pearsoner. Yeah. Talking about this song in the New York Times. What he wrote was the opening track. I am all that I need / Arroyo Seco / Thumbprint Scar careens from a dreary, self-doubting dirge to bright, breathless acoustic rocker and back multiple times before string sweeps in like a soothing balm. Many songs undergo similar shifts through the records, and I like that. It kind of explains. I think it explains the record as a whole, and also the start, because it goes from very calm, somber music to very hopeful, exploding sounds, and then back down again.
Yeah, it goes through a lot of tonal and musical changes, and it's very interesting that if you listen to it the first time as an opening track, or especially when everything that follows, but if you just listen for it by itself, to it by itself, it's very interesting because it pauses you a little, which is actually quite interesting. Mm. I played this for a couple of friends, and they just reacted weirdly because there's like a stop in the middle of the song because he goes out through a door and down a stairwell and stuff like that. And it really makes you, I don't know, just stop and think, and it doesn't happen as that often when you're like on the bus or on the train just listening to music.
Yeah.
Everything just goes according to plan, but now in this song it really doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Song number two. Cassius. Which is...
Dash.
Oh, yeah.
It's very important.
Yeah,
very
important. That's true. We forgot about that, didn't we? A little that in all these songs there are certain brackets and stuff that tell a story outside the lyrics.
Yeah.
So through the first song, if you look at Genius lyrics or other places,
or the official
record like we have
lyrics,
yeah,
that there I will are, pull up right now.
There are certain brackets that tell a story, which is the part of the concept of the concept album here, that there is a story through the lyrics and the music a lot. And then within the story, there's a story, like within the brackets.
Yeah.
Which support the bigger picture, I would say.
Yeah, it's kind of like, almost like stage directions in a play or...
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
The narrator putting up the play and then the song is acting it out.
Yeah, or like describing the environment.
Yeah. But now we're on Cassius. The second song on the album.
Yeah.
Which is something that we come to a lot with these songs, that a lot of the stuff in these songs are references. Like the word Cassius, where does that come from?
Yeah.
And what does that reference? Like Cassius was, Gaius Cassius Longinus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, was a Roman senator who was involved in the plot to and betray Julius Caesar, so.
And also... Cassius Clay, also known as Muhammad Ali. And he makes reference to both in later in the records. So I think like it has...
It's a double meaning.
Yeah, it's a double meaning.
And this song is also like starting to bring in the concept a little about water in the album, that there's a lot of ocean and water, or at least in the music.
Yeah.
That you feel like that it feels like you're maybe getting, I don't know, submerged slowly.
Yeah, those stage direction we talked about just that, like going underwater and over water. So you kind of get that feeling, like you go down, the music slows down, becomes a little more harder to hear, and then it goes up again and kind of explodes.
Yeah, they're very cool. And then we come to another song that has a dash in front of it, and then it's Naiads Cassides.
Yeah.
Which Naiads is the mythical creature, Naiads, and then Cassides is just another form of saying the Cassius guy. His family name, Cassius, is Cassides in a different form, so it's still referencing the song before that.
Yeah. Yeah, the fourth is Kept Woman.
Yeah, Kept Woman.
And yeah, that's a song I like. It has, I think it's one of the best written songs.
Yeah.
It has lots of beautiful imagery and it's it has a good pace in it.
Yeah, it's a nice song. The lyrics are very nice in this song too. When it comes to painting up the the plot or what you want to say, picking up the what's happening in the song, because the lyrics are coming back to this swelling and stuff, and the lyrics too. Right?
Yeah, I agree with you.
You want to go to the song that is not the third, but is called Third of Me?
Yeah. Or
Odaigahara, which is a mountain in Japan. And Third of May, of course, is referencing the picture or painting more that was painted by a great, great painter, which I can't remember the name of.
Oh, God.
Which we all know. We all have seen this. I'm just...
Yeah, it's Googling and I will...
Stall me for some.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say a fun fact because you said
Francisco de Goya. That's his name. And if you ever like had a history book, you've probably seen this when it comes to the Spanish Inquisition or no, the Spanish not Inquisition. What is it called?
Revolution.
Yeah, revolution in Spain. So everybody's probably seen this
picture.
It's a couple of Spanish soldiers or. Lining up a couple of people and then shooting them, which has a couple of references in this song and other songs.
Yeah, and
this is like almost a 9-minute song, so this is like a musical epic, and this has a lot of those tonal shifts with a lot of swelling and deep dark notes.
Yeah, and I would say like this is the climax of the record. It's like it's when it reaches its peak and it's really good.
It like slowly gets you up a mountain. It instead of sometimes songs just go up, I think this song like slowly builds and builds and then it goes up the mountain and it goes slowly down like winding canyon style into like a field where you can just chill a while. And it's very, it's a big roller coaster ride of music, and it's very cool.
I was gonna say, because you mentioned that with Odaigahara, Odaigahara, the mountain in Japan, and I thought when you said that, I just realized this C note at the end of this song, it's called It Ends in Japan. And I thought it was kind of fun.
That's kind of nice. And that is something that the brackets do a lot.
Yeah.
So they can tie into the song in a very subtle and beautiful way, I think.
Yeah.
Next song, which is the song If You Need to Keep Time on Me, which I like a lot. It's a little like Kept Woman, maybe, in the sense that it's simplistic in a very beautiful, natural way. It's not like Third of May, which is very big and pompous and
compared to most of the other songs, it's not that lyrical. It's not so much about the lyrics, because it's kind of just repeating some verses over and over again, and like it's more like creating a tone, and
it's very nice slowdown, like I said, that you feel when you are in Third of May, that it slowly takes you down the mountain into like a field or some place you can chill, and then you get to this song where you can just take it easy and have a nice break after that that big epic that was Third of May.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have some conspiracy theories maybe about the song because of references. If You Need to Keep Time on Me, that it references some political stuff that happens in America with Trump and stuff
around, because the first like bracket in the song is January 20th 2017.
Yeah, and he talks about like what happened on that certain day, and what disappeared.
It's like, how could it all fall in one day?
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
So it's very interesting, but I think it's more about, especially with the hiatus of Fleet Foxes and them being celebrities. Robin has had people keeping time on him, like, where is your next album? Where is your next song? Why is it taking so long? So he's this, from my sense, that I'm understanding is that if you need to, you should keep time on him.
Yeah.
But he himself keeps time on you later in the lyrics, and saying if you expect me to put out stuff for you to listen to, you have to listen to it, which is kind of back and forth conversation. Which one you prefer most about it being about Trump or like his own artistry? It's nice that you can see the different kind of ways of it going. Now we have the song Merkstapa, or Merstapa, as he says it. But it's spelled with a C. It's very weird. Merstapa. It means like monster and like cryptozoology of different weird monsters. It's just like a way of saying monster. And it references Beowulf and Grendel in some ways. The mythos or the story of Beowulf and Grendel.
Yeah.
Not only the movie with Angelina Jolie and stuff, which was a good movie. So yeah, and this is also one of these songs that has the in the brackets, but also in the feeling that it taps into this this ocean and this water in the song. And it brings up the question for me if all these songs that are related to water and oceans, if it's like the more Asian philosophy where water is being used for reborning, that you're being reborn through water.
Rebirth.
Thanks. Which you could say Crack Up and Fleet Foxes are doing here, because it's their new, they're having a rebirth of their career in a sense.
Yeah.
And then we have the song after Merstapa, which is on another ocean. Earlier in one song, he says, in another ocean, or in everything is ocean, all is sea.
Yes, and off on the other ocean.
Yeah, now. So he's referencing that he's going on the another ocean.
Yeah.
Which is also a reference for him being born one place in Washington, but then studying like in California or something. So you could see it that he's moving from one side of the country to another side, which is also kind of nice. And and they do some cool stuff in the song, like
they sample some Ethiopian jazz.
Yeah,
an artist named Mulatto Astatke.
Yeah, song Tesetta, which is their language, which translates into nostalgia.
Yeah.
Which is actually, they use a lot of samples in this, which is kind of cool, I think. I don't know, when I listen to albums, if I've ever noticed that.
Yeah.
But when you learn more about it, it's very cool. Like, in the first song, we forget to mention that the one we normally call Thumbprint Scar, that they have a sample of a high school class singing one of their old songs, White Winter Hymnal, which is a lovely rendition that they do, and they have it there. And he even Robin even shared it on his Instagram, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
See, it was very nice. Next song is
Full Siren.
Yeah.
This song kind of always felt out of place for me.
Yeah.
In this record, and I guess because they mentioned in the interview that this one of
the singles. No, what's it called?
No, it's one of the few songs that wasn't written before they started recording.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder if that's maybe why it kind of sounds a little different.
Yeah.
But it's still a nice song, but it's more in the way of a regular folk pop song.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, but especially with Crack Up being a 6-year hiatus, or between Crack Up and the previous album, they had a lot of time to write songs, even if they were not together or not talking all the time. I think Robin writes most of these songs himself, I think he did.
He started out, but then
then later when they, but with Skylar and so, and
yeah, his but when they were in the process of recording and stuff, they all got a Google document with all the stuff that Robin Pecknold had collected, and then they get to collaborate with each other.
So that's maybe also one reason that this scene feels different, that it has more people on it, that it's not singular-minded, which is kind of interesting.
That could be.
Yeah.
Could be true.
It is a fool's errand indeed. Then we have the song I Should See Memphis, which sounds something like an Elvis song.
Walking in Memphis. Yes.
Yeah. My feet 10 feet off the ground.
Oh yeah.
Not copy strikes here. But this is the song that has the most references, I think, right?
Yeah, it kind of puts them on fict, so to say. Yeah,
this is the one that you really like need Google for, because here he's referencing that they're referencing themselves and their own songs that they just sang, like they're doing some Cash's stuff that they're referencing Cash's songs themselves, but also they have like a couple of battles in, like Appomattox, which is a battle. Well, what was it called? The Civil War. The American Civil War.
Yeah.
We never had one, so we don't remember all these stuff. But he's doing a lot of references, and it's very interesting, like, if you stop and Google these stuff.
Yeah.
Like, why is he referencing this certain battle? What does that have to tell in the bigger picture, and what does he mean by using that word in this scenario for himself? Yeah.
And then to the final.
Yeah, the final song, Crack Up, which, like I said, was based on the F. Scott Fitzgerald book, or may essay in a sense. Crack Up, which was very cool. This is the song that's, I mean, it has some very nice lyrics in it, and it's very, like, easy. Like, one of the lyrics is a reference to the essay, which of course it has name, but it is I can tell you've cracked like a china plate. Now it's out of context a lot, but still, if you just think about what it means, sometimes that people are so under so much pressure that you crack up, and you know, you sometimes can't handle it all, you have a lot of stuff to do, which is very interesting to put up on the album.
Yeah, and he like talks about facing the day, and yeah, and I think this is a song kind of summarized their absence.
Yeah,
And especially Robin Pecknold's absence.
Yeah, and I mean, I have another quote from Scott Fitzgerald's essay where it says, "The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in the mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function." Yeah. Which is like he's saying, like, he's having too much to do and he cracks up.
Yeah.
Like a chain of blade, which is kind of nice. And at the end of this, also, after these brackets, there's something that isn't in the song or not.
They sing it.
Oh, they do sing this.
They sing.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But for so to clarify,
in the
original text in the record,
liner notes, I think they're called.
Yeah, there are 2 points: one in the 3rd of May and one in Crack Up. There's one paragraph in each song that is written with a different font.
Font. So first in these songs you have the normal lyrics. And then you have the brackets that tell a story. And then you have this highlight. So the more you dive deep into this, it's very painting a big picture.
Yeah, and kind of can be very maddening.
But it's also very nice in a sense, because it gives you a bigger story. It's like reading a book, but noticing, oh, I missed something. I have to read this again. Which is kind of interesting, because this band, Fleet Foxes, I've heard all the other studio albums they did, and I've heard probably at least all of their release songs, as far as I know. If I haven't missed anything to this recording, I should have. And before this, I actually didn't know that they made this. It just popped up. And then I gave this to you, who wasn't really the biggest fan, I would say, maybe, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've tried to listen to Flea Foxes before without success. Like, it didn't stick with me, and this record really didn't stick with me at first. I was like, after like my first or second time listening through the album, I was like, I'm gonna have to like saw this record in half and really criticize it here on the podcast, and like that's kind of bad first episode. But then I listened to it again and again and it really grew on me.
Yeah, and I played this for my girlfriend who had heard, like probably most people did, hear Fleet Foxes around 2010, 11, 12, in a coffee shop while getting a coffee, because they were the indie band with the indie pop rock, and they were like everywhere, but they were not anywhere also. It was weird. But I love them and I always have. They're very cool. But I played all of these songs for her, the whole album, and she went through all the... the emotions and like the aha stuff that we always go through when listening, especially when diving deep into this. But also she had not really listened to them, so I probably listened to it at home with her once, and then and another time again before recording this episode. But it was always in the background, so I think it grew on her a lot. And as far as I could see, when it comes to other fans of Fleet Foxes, like we saw on Instagram by a happenstance, that other fans also think that this record grew on them.
Yeah.
Which actually, this record that we have in front of us with the liner notes and all is actually a Christmas present. So just to give myself my cred, I gave this to you for Christmas.
You should have this credit. It was a very nice gift.
Yeah.
And I've been actually like playing it like every Saturday morning when I get up, and like I take a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and just sit down in my corner where I have my vinyl player, and I put on this record, and it's a very nice like.
Yeah, and wasn't that when you had that little funny story happen that you told me? That you took a picture and you saw that you tagged Robin and Fleet Foxes, but you saw another picture had been tagged?
Yeah.
He says sure, like he doesn't remember the most important stuff in the world.
But I don't know where you want to go with this.
No, I'm just thinking that we accidentally saw somebody else tag Robin and say that this record was not maybe the best Fleet Foxes record, but it was growing on said person that tagged.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's what I was thinking about. I just wanted you to get to the conclusion.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoon feed you the story. Okay, let's see. Is there anything else that's very nice to say about?
I just want to hear your thoughts and. What is your favorite song on the record?
Oh yeah, that's true. What is my favorite song? I think I would pick this song, "Keep Time on Me." If you need to keep time on me.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to at least like favorite or you've never heard this album, you should listen to it. I would say, this is the song. This is really the song, and I don't know why. It's very simplistic in a sense.
Yeah.
If you just compare it to like songs Third of May and maybe Arroyo Seco, some of the others too. But when it comes to the music, it's a more toned down, more simple.
Yeah.
It gives you more of a like resting time, and I think it's more of an inviting. And especially, I like Fleet Foxes. I like the band. I mostly know about maybe. Robin Schuyler, right? Schuyler, right? Am I saying
Robin and Schuyler?
Yeah, Robin and Schuyler. Yeah. No, I'm just not saying his first name. I mean, Robin and Schuyler are probably the biggest because they've been childhood friends, and the band themselves have only had like one breakup, so they've been mostly the same people. But Robin, I think this is his album a lot. No, and that's not a negative or a positive in a sense. I think That could be a good thing. But especially this song is very Robin focused and has some nice stuff. Just very easy. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
What's your favorite? I agree with you.
Okay. What's your favorite song?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for asking. How it's nice of you.
I mean, you can't have a favorite song. They're all your favorite song.
Yeah, yeah. I'm obsessed with this record now, obviously.
I turned him, guys.
But my favorite song is probably I'm All That I Need, Arroyo Seco, Thumbprint Scar.
The one with the longest name, for some reason.
Of course.
But the Thumbprint Scar is a very good song, yes.
Yeah, and it has everything. It summarized the record very well. It's like it has all of the shifting and all that the rest of the record, but it.
And the music video is very cool for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very... And the music video actually helps a lot if you watch the music video while listening to the lyrics. Because they help, at least I think so, help tell the story a lot.
Yeah, it's cool how they recorded the song. I don't know if they had this in their minds, but they recorded a song with like the door opening and the footsteps and all that. And then they...
Very good timing.
And they incorporated that into the music video, and that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And it's very nice, especially when you're just listening, like I said earlier, that you're just freezing up and like, why is he going through a door and stuff, which is maybe not made for the music video, but when you see it together, it's like, another like aha moment, which is actually kind of nice, which I like this record for a lot. It's a lot of aha moments with these. And in a sense, that could scare some of you listeners if you want to listen to this album, but you don't have to honestly care a lot about the brackets or the certain fonts on certain lines, that they coexist and help each other. You could just listen to it and have the music and the lyrics a little by hand and see, because some of them are like straightforward and very nice, or some of them rhyme very nice, like the normal stuff, or you can really deep down into this. And that comes also till like all these ocean waters that we're diving into this record, which is kind of nice. And this record has a lot of nice pictures also that we didn't take up. That we didn't bring up. But these pictures on the album itself, like the main photo, is very beautiful and very nice.
Yeah, it's by Hiroshi...
Hamaya. And a Japanese photographer that died a while back, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and he has done some great nature photography, and that's what they use. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. Before we go into the things that we should go, let's see if there's more fun facts.
Yeah, you like your fun facts.
I mean, this is the biggest fun fact that we should probably take up. All the other ones are meaningless.
And this one?
Yeah. I mean, for everybody who's listening, you maybe can hear that we do not have the best English accents.
Yes.
Because we're from a little cold place called Sweden. A wonderful place where we have a band called First Aid Kit, who actually got their success by covering... Tiger Mountain Peasant and Winter White Hymnal, I think also, but Tiger Mountain Peasant is a song by Fleet Foxes from an earlier album, Helpless Blues, if I remember. And they did this cover, and in their little message before doing the song and in the description of the YouTube video, they had like, the Fleet Foxes is the best album ever, you should go see them. They're amazing. And then Robin replied back like, you're amazing. And it just blew up, and now First Aid Kit is a really big band that plays in Sweden and other countries, and very big on Spotify and other like top of the charts, I think.
Yeah.
And so it's a little cool, fun fact, especially when you're from a little cold place like Sweden. That's something somebody from America would just see your YouTube video, and I, especially me, I love YouTube a lot. For artists and the people who do it. So it's cool to see that can affect stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah. Let's go into the last thing then.
Yeah.
that after this, I hope you all listen to Crack Up first and foremost, and try to listen to it by doing it legally, of course. And by doing it on Spotify if you can, or if you ever find this in a cheap form on a CD or a record, especially the record is beautiful, so I recommend it if you get it cheap.
Yeah.
Or just at all. So yeah, let's go into what's gonna happen the next time on
the Record Swappers.
Yeah. On the next episode of Dragon Ball Z. Next time. Sorry, it's next time. So next time I'm gonna listen to a record that you're gonna give me, right?
Yes. And I have it here in front of me. You can describe it a little and we talk about it and see what it is.
This is a CD, but so it's a little smaller, but it still has really nice art, I think. It's very simplistic and it's very nice. So it's an album called something, I was going to say, but it's an album by Arcade Fire. I was going to say called Arcade Fire. That would be weird.
Whoops.
But it's an album by Arcade Fire where the art is somebody holding a quill, as they're called, and some flowers. And the hand stretches up and has a line that draws out in, like, I would say a scream that goes into a picture where a woman is screaming, lying down on the floor. And there's a hand with some flowers. This is the album Funeral.
Yes.
Yeah. This looks like an old album, like you would get in the 50s or 40s, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very cool style.
It's kind of the I mean, like,
backing,
the backside of the record is very much made like some old,
blues, jazz, honky-tonk records.
No, but I think of all the... all like doctor's papers.
Yeah,
and it's kind of cool. It has a really cool old look to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's Arcade Fire's first studio album, Funeral. We're gonna listen to next time.
Yeah.
And so I hope you join us.
Yeah, I hope also you join us for some reason. I also hope so. I'm just making a bad joke here. He's not understanding, so we'll just move past it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And say that before our next episode that will come out, hit us up on all the social media, which is The Record Swappers everywhere. And we have a Google Mail that is also, The Record Swappers at gmail.com. But it's The Record Swappers everywhere.
Yeah.
We swap records everywhere.
Yeah. And I hope you reach out and give your thoughts to us.
If you listen to any of the albums that we say, or if you want us to listen to a certain album, just hit us up. Have a nice time. Catch you later.
Bye-bye.